We've been zeicher to learn together over the past months the Inyan of Menuchas HaNefesh. When we come to these parashiyas, the parashiyas of Golus Mitzrayim and Geula Mimitzrayim, so the whole Inyan of Menuchas HaNefesh becomes clearer and clearer to us. The Torah says, "Vayhi bayom harab mahein," that we just read today, and it was in those many days, "Vayhi bayomim harab mahein," that describes Golos. Many, many days. Days that become weeks, weeks become months, and months become years. "Vayhi bayom harab mahein." There's a word that the Chassidim say in the name of the Sa'ar Sholom from Belz, Schus Yagen Aleinu, from the first Belz Rebbe. Sholosh Goliyos Hain, says in the Svarim from the Belz Rebbe. There are three Goliyos, there are three exiles. Sholosh Goliyos Hain. Golos Shel Yisrael Ben Ha'umais. There's the Golos of the Jewish people amongst the nations of the world. But Chamura Mizais, more difficult and more horrible than that Golos. Chamura Mizais Golos Shel Yehudim Ben Yehudim is the Golos of Jews among other Jews. When Jews with each other don't feel that they belong with each other. When a Jew is in Golos with other Jews, that's worse than to be in Golos among the Goyim. But that's not the worst Golos. Chamura Mizais, the Sa'ar Sholom said. More horrible than that, Chamura Mizais, is Golos Ha'adam B'Soich Atzmai, is the Golos of a person within himself. When a person is in exile within himself, he doesn't know who he is. He's unredeemed. He's in exile. He lives in a state of internal diaspora. Belz Rebbe said it's a very deep word, and we're going to talk about it now for the next couple of weeks, months. Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi. When we ask Hashem's Baruch, Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, Rabbi Shalom, return to my soul, return to me a feeling of menucha. Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, that my nefesh should be able to find peace. What the pasuk is telling us, shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, what David Malka Mashiach is telling us, shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, is that kaidem kol, a person has to have his nefesh. You have to be together with yourself. You have to be away from galus and out of that inner galus that the Sa'ar Sholom was talking about. Only through shuvi nafshi, only when a person is reunited with his own nefesh, can he experience menuchaychi, can he experience the menucha of menuchas nefesh. Shuvi nafshi is necessary to bring one's own nefesh out of galus, is a necessary stage in order for a person to experience menuchaychi, menucha. And how do we identify? How do we understand this inyan of galus, that third, what the Sa'ar Sholom said, the most horrible galus, the galus of a person, the galus of a person b'soich atzmai, within himself. There's a word that we're used to from the Haggadah, and we're talking about it today, the whole parasha. In the Haggadah, the Nusach that we're familiar with is Avodim Hayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. Avodim, slaves. Avodim are slaves. Avodim Hayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. Baruch Hashem, a large part of the world no longer has slavery. And the institution of Avdus is to a large extent, not completely, but to a large extent, it's been removed, it's been erased. There are other words, however, that have replaced Avdus in our times. There are words that are found in Tanakh, but we feel them more now than ever before. The shayrish remains the same. The shayrish is galus ha'adam b'seich atzmai. A person's in galus within himself. One of the words that's used now more than any other word is a word in Lashon HaKodesh, lachatz. Lachatz means pressure. Lachatzein was also in Haggadah. Lachatzein is zuvatchak. Lachatz, pressure. What does that mean? You hear that? That's the sound of the train. Baruch Hashem, it's Moshe Shabbos, the Maitzoy Yom Menucha, Hamtzi La'amacha Ravacha, we're still relaxed. But, and some people have off a little bit tomorrow also, but by Monday morning that sound is going to cause a lot of lachatz. People are going to feel a lot of lachatz from that sound. What does that sound mean to us? It means that if a person is still a block away, or he's still wrapping up his towels and tefillin, it means, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because I'm supposed to be someplace sometime. I have to do something. And there's a lachatz. There's a different kind of lachatz when a person has to be someplace and he goes to the train and he's waiting for that sound and it's not coming. And the train is not coming. It's also a lachatz. When the train comes, there's a lachatz. If the train's not coming, it's a feeling of lachatz. Then a person sits down on the train. He made it to the train. So now so there's no more lachatz. Then he looks at his little back of his briefcase. And he has in his briefcase a laptop computer. Lachatz. And he has to be loichetz on the button. To press the button is called to be loichetz on the button. Every button means more lachatz. And he has to press on the button. And the button says to him, you know that you're, even though you made it on the train, the computer knows that. Because there's a satellite. The computer says, you made it to the train, but you're not still free. Because you should know that the train is arriving in Manhattan, in whatever, I was never on that train, but the train is arriving in Manhattan, what does it take, 35 minutes, 40 minutes? It's arriving in Manhattan, and you have an hour, at least an hour of work to do on me, so that you shouldn't get in trouble. When you face Paro in an hour from now, or less than an hour, you're going to have to look at Paro, and you didn't finish. Lachatz. Lachatz seinu zu adchak. Adchak means they're pushing, something is pushing. Lachatz. There's company that's supposed to arrive. Let's move over to the women's division of Lachatz. There's company that's coming for Shabbos, a lot of company. Company that you suspect of being particular. And the company is coming, and already at the beginning of the week, even though it's just a little bit in the week, lachatz. The house isn't ready. This is not in place. This is broken. When am I going to have time to go to the store? When am I going to have to make the time to make the things that I need to make? These are choshev ha'archem that are coming, choshev ha'guests, and so on. Lachatz. Never before have human beings been as lachutz as they are now. Lachatz is just, that word lachatz in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, or translation, it's not pressure. It's just a more sophisticated, modernized version of Avodah Hayin. So now it's lachutzim hayin. We have a lot of pressure. Stress. Everybody I talk to I'm so stressed out from all the stress that people have. Baruch Hashem, otherwise I'm very relaxed, but I get so stressed out because everybody I talk to is talking about how much stress they have. And by the end of the week, I'm stressed out. But at least they get Shabbos off. I have Shabbos, I get more of the stress from stress. That's also a word, lachas, stress. The truth is that word covers the truth. Lachat is covering up for the same old problem. Havodim ha'yinu l'paru mitzrayim. You're an Eved. If that toot-toot has some control over your feelings, it means that you're mamluch, the train. You coronate, you anoint, you appoint the train as your king. And the king has told me something. And he not only that, the king makes a certain sound. And I'm standing there, yes, your majesty, I'm coming, your majesty. And you mamalich the train over yourself. And then when you get to, then you're sitting on the train and the computer says to your boss, is going to look at you with a sour upon him, with a bad face today. He's not going to be happy with you, your boss. So then you mamalich, and it makes you feel lachas, right? You feel lachas. You feel stress. That means your mamluch, your boss. He's the melech. Melech, melech. Hamamluch, melochim, veloy hamlucha. That's your melech. You're coronated and anointed. This melech that's called your boss. The woman feels already the anxiety. It's already crossing over from Wednesday to Thursday. From Wednesday to Thursday, nothing is done in the house. Nothing is bought, nothing is cooked, nothing is ready. The Orchim, the company. And she's feeling stress and lachats. It means that she's mamluch. She anoints and appoints and coronates the Orchim, the guests. Those are her, that's the malucha, that's the melech. The guest is the melech. The broken, the crack in the ceiling is the melech. The curtain that's torn is the melech. The toy that's not put away is the melech. The lot of melochim. It's a big malchus with a lot of kings. The Balamusa were very straightforward people. The Balamusa used to call this Avodas Elohim Achim. Not just kings, but other gods. A king, if he's not looking, you know, you take certain liberties. If you can't, you're not going to get caught. But if you believe that there's another God that's watching you, that's all-knowing, that means you feel stressed out wherever you are, even when you're not in front of your boss. Even when you're not by the train, you feel at this alachas. The Bali Musa called the Avodas Elohim Achim, the worship of other gods. Listen, Reb Eli Lapian, you heard of him? Reb Eli was one of the big Bali Musa of our generation, of this past generation. I wasn't zeichet to meet him. It's not so long that he died. I wasn't zeichet to meet him, but my wife's uncle was a Talmud of his in Kfar Chassidim. And I've read a great deal about him. There's a wonderful book in English also on rebellion called Rebellion. Reb Eli Lapian was going with a Talmud, he was going with one of his students. And they were standing by the bus station, someplace in Eretz Yisrael. They were waiting by the bus. And the bus was late. And the Talmud, the student, was leaning over every 10 seconds. You know you do that by the train, you lose all, to see if it's coming. He did this a few times, and Reb Elia said to him, this is what it says in the Sefer, the Kelm, if you were in Kelm, if you came from the factory that I was made in, Kelm, you would have gotten a patch. You would have gotten a smack. You would have gotten plenty of musa. Allah hefkeris hazu. For this hefkeris, for this wildness and abandonment of letting go of yourself in such a way that you're leaning over to look to see if there's a bus coming instead of just standing like a mensch, that you lean over to a bus. If you were in Kelm, you would have gotten a smack. Rebellion wasn't saying not to wait for a bus. He was just saying, we're not kairu mishtach to a bus. You understand the difference? You wait for the bus, but you don't bow down to the bus. You don't let it get control over you. You're not mamluch, you don't coronate the bus. You don't make him a king over your emotions. That a bus should cause you, and wherever you have to go, that should cause you to perspire, to lose your menuchas hanefesh. Rebellion came from that world, as I said, the factory, that we're not master what that was. It's not a long time ago. I think what would have been like if there would have, you know, obviously there's a thought, it's a crazy thought, but you think what would it have been like if there wouldn't have been a Holocaust? And what would Kelm be nowadays? They tried to recreate it. There was a great man in our generation that died a few years ago, Rav Volbi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. He was a super person, a superhuman being. He made the most you could have made of Kelm, that it was possible to make of Kelm after the Milchama, after the war. People like Rav Eliel Apian and Rav Volbi, people from that world of Kelm, were free. They were free. Now there were people that were struggling with poverty, the terrible sorrows with children dying, children taken, sickness, all different sorrows, much, much worse, lo aleinu, than anything that we have to go through, chas v'shalom. But they didn't have any shibud. Listen carefully. They weren't chayiv anything to anybody. They weren't chayiv to anyone. To the outside world. They were chayiv to the Rebbein Shalom. They weren't chayiv anything to anybody. Even the normal nimusim, which we call in modern day Eretz Yisrael, even the normal customs and manners of how people are supposed to, what they're supposed to say. Oh, how are you, sweetie? How was your weekend? You don't want to say that, but you feel like I got to say it. I'm not going to say it. Something like that. I once worked someplace with a couple of friends in the summer, so I pointed out, you see that there's a receptionist, there's a person there, and everybody comes in, hi, how you doing? There's such a smile, this lady. And how was your weekend? And you're not even past her. And she has that punim. It was nothing. It was just something that she had to say. That feeling of have to, that avdus of having to do something, that's not who you are. It's not who you really are. That feeling, listen carefully, so I'm having a cut, I have to get a dinner time, or something, like in a half hour in Manhattan. I'm not sure I'll do that, but somehow, it's Hashem. That feeling, listen carefully, that feeling changes a person's life. It makes a person's life a living prison. That wherever you go in life, you walk together with a prison. Wherever you are, you're behind bars. Nobody sees them. Nobody sees them. But you feel the warden, you feel the jailkeeper. You feel that prison of bilbulin, of confusion, of everything in the world, of the train, of the boss, of the company, of this, of that, of the kids, of whatever it might be. All of that imprisons you. And you don't know how not to feel lachat, stress. Rabbi Eliel Apian, I'm just giving you an example, those tzaddikim, Rabbi Chaska, Rabbi Eliel, all the tzaddikim, and great people that we've been zeichet to meet, all of the confusion, all of the pressure, all of the stress of this world, of the Alma de Shikra, of this false world, did not make any imprint upon them on any level at all. They were never karim mishtachlim. They had to take care of things just like we have to take care of things. They had to make the train. They had to make an appointment. They never bowed down to a train. They never bowed down to a boss. They never got on all fours in front of their company, in front of what? In front of a carpet that wasn't cleaned, in front of a bathroom that wasn't fixed, in front of a leak that wasn't taken care of. They didn't get on the floor and bow down. They had to take care of it also. But they didn't bow down. I told you a few weeks ago when I was with my Rebbe of David, and I was feeling so nervous about the airplane that he was going to miss, because he was talking about this Torah in the parking lot of the airport, and I didn't know how to get him out of the car, and he was wanted to talk about this, and I'm looking at my watch, and then finally I said, Rebbe, the airplane. So he said, no. So he had to get to Chicago. There was a thing. There was a meeting. I don't know. Of Gedolim over there, and that was my job to get him on time. And the rabbis said, make sure that Reb David gets on taking. So he missed the plane. And I told you, he missed the plane. There wasn't a second of kihuz v'nachnu koyim mishtachim. Nothing. So then he pulled me over by the arm. He said, go get another plane. And he pulled me by the arm. And he said, now we can finish the Avi Nezer we were talking about. So I want to see what Rebbe, it's going to be an hour, and it's going to be, and this and that, and you know, that's regular. God, there's nothing. But I don't know how to fend for up, because you know, you come home, you tell it to somebody, they say, yeah, but what about if there are people waiting, what's going to be in Chicago, the mindset? It was also a cheshna. But whatever it was never with a, I saw him, I was lucky to spend many, many, many hours with him. It was never koyum mishtachim moidim. There was an appointment that we had. I was going with him. He never ate the food that he always went to see his own shechitas. He would go himself to wash the shechita, and then they put it in the freezer that he had to take the meat. So then what happened is there was supposed to be a certain time, and something happened. I don't know. It was a little bit also late, and then they closed up the place, and they were schlepping so far to get to this place, and they were closing, and they told him that the sheikh had to leave, and he's not there. So Reb David said, no, okay, Rebazoi. Okay, time. We'll go home. So I'm ready. Like, I want to punch out this guy. I'm ready to take apart the whole schlachtos, make a schiette in the schlachtos. And Rebbe says, "Why?" So it means a and if it won't be with you, if I won't have meat, I won't have meat. Have meat for me. And afkimin. He never bowed down to anything. I saw that. I watched that. My father's all Gazan Zion for many long healthy years. I never saw him ever bow down to anybody or anything in my life. I never saw. But anybody said or did nothing. No Kriya Vishtachavoya ever. Those are people who might have been in horrible prisons, but they were never imprisoned, ever. My father was in horrible places where he was surrounded by barbed wire, but he was never in prison. Listen to the Maharal. The Maharal discusses this Yesod in many places in his farm, in Gevuras Hashem, three big places in Gevuras Hashem. And we have to be Makatsa, probably have to continue this next time to be Makatsa. The morale in Gevuras Hashem, Perek Lamed Vav. The morale's talking about matzah. I'm talking about lachas. When I say the word matzah, I already feel inside of me that there's so much chametz in the car. Yeah, it's not that car. No. My car's still all right. It's the other car. But I have to clean that too. Matzah is a food that we eat on Pesach because of Gula, redemption. Like Morishe, what? Shemar al Shivut. Morar, we understand, tells us about slavery. Morar is bitterness. Kemeribus, Morar Shivut. But if you is Paul, min Hamaribus. When a person experiences bitterness, he reacts to it. It hurts him. He feels it. It changes him. Right? He's misspoiled. It's the morale's language. I don't know how to translate that. It causes him to have a reaction to bitterness. I mean, you have Mara, it's the Maribus. He says, Kamaisha misspoiled me, Shibud. Lakacha Marai Marim ala Shibud. When a person reacts to something of this world, when it causes him to have a reaction, it means he's enslaved.
Shekhen ha-matzah she-nikras matzah b'shvil she-ein batam kla.
Matzah has no taste at all.
Va'oichel lo yikabel shum espailus.
And therefore, when you eat the matzah, it doesn't cause any reaction to take place in your mouth. Go on.
V'fichach ha-matzah hi al cheiris. Therefore, the matzah means freedom, cheiris. Shekachu inyin ha-cheiris. She'ein bo yispalus klal. The Maharal says, what is freedom, what is cheiris? Ein bo yispalus klal. It doesn't get to you. It doesn't change you. You don't respond. You're not forced by anything outside of you. You're not forced by anything outside of you to act differently than who you are.
Mara means slavery, because mara means there's something that's getting to me. There's something that's making my eyes water. There's something that's making me cringe. There's something that's causing me to look for the buzz. You know, that's called slavery.
Kach mara ha-matza al cheiris.
Matza means freedom.
She'en bo espalos. There's an inyan cheiris ba'atzma.
The matzah does not bring with it any espinus. Therefore, it's chayus. And he continues it a little bit later.
But Pashki, a matzah pshuta, we'll talk more about this also in a few minutes. Ki a matzah pshuta also, the main thing really.
Matzah is simple.
She'ein basar, it doesn't have any yeast. It doesn't have any ingredients that causes it to be anything but what? But itself. V'chol dover shu poshet meblisha mitztarefel of dover hu? Dover hu ingin acheres.
Anything that's completely poshet. Poshet without anything artificial, extraneous, anything outside of itself. Anything that is what it is, that's called poshet, that's ingin acheres, that's freedom.
If you're enslaved, it means there's someone that's telling you what to do. There's somebody that's making you act a certain way that you would rather not act. That's called
shibud. Marie has been in this, a slave means there's somebody outside of me that's forcing me to act a certain way. The company, the boss, the train, the chulu, the chulu, the chulu. That's causing me to do something and act a certain way, to feel a certain way that's not me.
Umishu ben chayrin oimeid ba'atzmai. A ben chayrin, a free person, is oimeid ba'atzmai.
Like rebellion. He's by himself. Like Reb Dovid, alayhi mashalom. They're by themselves.
Therefore, it's proper that a person who is free should eat matzah on the night of freedom.
Because it is pashut. It is pashut without any additive, without anything outside of itself. That's what the matzah is. It is what it is.
The oimek of what the Maharal is telling us is that there's a person that's called a chametzdike mensch. It could be all year, but it's called a chametzdike mensch.
A chametzdike mensch, a person who's chametzdike. A chametzdike mensch lives his entire life by somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's expectations, somebody else's demands. This is the golus that the Sar Shalom was talking about, the golus of a person that he's in exile within himself. He never experiences himself. You could say it in one sentence, listen, Yesh loy rak ma she'ein loy. All that he has is what he doesn't have. Because all that he lives is somebody else's idea of who he should be and what he should do. Yesh loy, therefore all that he has is rak ma she'ein loy, which is not his. It's not him. It's all he has.
Rebbe Nachman Schussi, again, when he was going through a particularly difficult time of poverty, there was a time in his life where he had mamish nothing. And here he was Malchus, the Baal Shem Tov's great grandson. Tonight's the yard side of the Baal Tani. He had nothing, Rebbe Nachman.
So it says in the Sram that once Rabbi Nachman, during that difficult tkufa, they heard him say, Rabban Shalom, give me other sheikh, other das, other sheikh. Give me either intelligence or give me shoes. What does that mean? Listen to what he said. Other das, either give me das, give me intelligence, give me understanding, or give me a pair of shoes. What does that mean? It means, Rabban Shalom, I don't have anything to wear on my feet. You know, in Ukraine it can get pretty rough without shoes. He didn't have anything to wear on his feet. So he said, Rabban Shalom, I'm begging you, either give me a pair of shoes. But if you're not going to give me a pair of shoes, then at least give me the understanding that I don't need to have a pair of shoes. I don't have to have a pair of shoes. Shoes, if you want me to have shoes, that would be very nice. But if it's not for me to have shoes, then give me the das that I don't need to have shoes. But what Rabbi Nachman was saying was, but to live a life with wanting shoes and not getting them, this I can't do. Remember this part. This is a lifetime part to think about. Because to live this way, without shoes, but with the stress, the lachas, the tchak, the avdus, that how could I have a life without shoes? That's not a life. It's poshut not a life. Any person who lives with this stress and lachas is not amongst the living. And Ibn Ahmed said, either give me a pair of shoes, but if I'm not going to have shoes, then strengthen me with the das that I can live without shoes. I don't have to have shoes. I don't have to have. Think for a minute of the life of a Balgaiva. The life of a conceived person of a Balgaiva. There's nobody who is as lachutz. Anybody here who is tinged with that sickness of conceit knows. And even those who are not see it. There is nobody who is as big an eved, who has lachutz, as pressured, as stressed, as much of a slave, is in a deeper gullus every hour of his life as a balgaiva. Why? Because the balgaiva is in a constant state of dependency. He is an eved, he is a slave to every single word that comes from people around him. If somebody says, you're the greatest, then he feels good. Oh, yes. And if the person didn't say, you're great, if he only said, you're nice, didn't say, I'm the nicest, then what? He feels bad. Someone outside is playing every second with the Balgaiva's emotions. Every single second. It's not just the words that he is. A person's face, the punim, the parts of the gesture that a person makes. He didn't look at me a nice way. I don't like the way she looked at me. You don't look at me that way. A parts of her face. Every single person that the Balgaiva meets, everywhere he goes, he's an eved, he's kareyum shtachve. Please give me a compliment. Please, can you give me your approval? Can you please tell me that I'm the smartest, the prettiest, the nicest, the best, the biggest amav? Could you please tell me all of that? Could you please? I'm bowing down to you. I'm asking. I need very, very badly to have your approval right now. You see a person that's a balkas, always getting angry. What? It's all gaiva. You see a person that has what they call nowadays low self-esteem. Low self-esteem means that everybody is never yoytzu with him. He always has to be told, you're nice, you're good, you're wonderful. The Alta from Slobodka, he was a king. The Alta from Slobodka, he said, the different types of schnorrers. You know what it is? A katzon. Different types of katzon. The different types of beggars. He said, the one that we see most openly is somebody that's begging for money. But he says, a person that needs money, Nabuch, and he's a schnorrer for money. Schnorrer is not a nice word. But Moshe Makredesh, a Kabson, someone that's a beggar, If you give him a couple of prutas, a couple of kopecks, shkolim, a dollar or two, I'm absolute, you know, he's happy. You know, not all of them, but he's happy. Give him a couple of dollars, give him a little bit of money, he's happy. But the Alter Chassid Boyker said there's a different kind of a shnor. He called it a kovet shnor. A kovet shnor? The Alter said a kovet shnor. Someone that goes around his entire life snoring for kovet, begging for kovet, I didn't get the aliyah. They didn't recognize me to announce my name. They didn't give me this. My wife didn't say like this, and my children don't like this, and this one doesn't. Everybody, so he says, the kapsen kovet, the kovet kapsen, the one who's a schnorrer for kovet, he says, no matter how much you give him, no matter how much you try to give him kovet, you know this is true in every shul, in every place that you go where you're together with other people, you see this kaseda. That a person who is a kovet shnara, no matter how much you give a kovet shnara, kol ze enenu shavaloi. It never ever will ever equal what he feels is kumtzamir, what's coming to me. Never. The regular shnara, you give him a dollar, he says, come on. So you give him another dollar, he says, shkoyach, hagut geben shtir. When it comes to kovet, you tell him, you're the best. Last year you told, I heard you tell somebody else that he's, you're gewaldig. No, that's still not it. That's still not it. The kovet shnara never gets his shear. Never. Therefore, even though on the one hand the Baal Gaiva looks like he's such a confident person, the Baal Gaiva is usually the one who goes around with such confidence, and he seems to be in control, and he's loud, and he's strong, and everybody's afraid of him, and he's intimidating in how he carries himself, the Baal Gaiva. But the emes is that there's no person who's a bigger umlal, who's the more impoverished, a bigger schnorrer, who's so weak and poor and enslaved. He's nispal from every face. Everybody he passes by, he's looking to see, does he like me, doesn't he like me? She likes me, she doesn't like me. They're machabed me, they're not machabed me. They invited me, they didn't invite me. If people are walking around, people are sitting here that have a cheshbon from 20, 30 years about someone who didn't invite me, who didn't talk to me a certain way, who wasn't machabed me, who had a certain thing to say about me that they said to somebody else. I heard it got back to me that they said this about me. What does this person have, even if you don't have a taina, what does this person think about me? What's his impression about me? People spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars, on certain things in the house, on certain kinds of clothing, to be able to satisfy, they think they're going to satisfy all of their kings and emperors that surround them. That now this person is going to be impressed. Wow. That person, that's some house. And yet for 1 second of what? For 1 second of snoring some covet, of snoring somebody's approval, he spent $100,000. $250,000 for a second of snoring. Listen. For a kovet shnor, for 1 second of somebody saying, your house is really. For that, because what's the nafkimini? If you walk into that place, you have like, you know, whatever, there are little malochim that are fluttering around your living room, serving you drinks. After you have that for one time, and it's no longer good. Doesn't mean anything. But to invite, and you have to invite some other people in to shnor some more kovet, shnor kovet. What does this person think about me? This is Rabbi, an avdus, a slavery, a lachatz, an eved nirtze. You know what it means, an eved nirtze? Not just an eved. It means the eved whose ear was nailed to the door. You're not out by Shemitah, not by Yovel. By Yovel, nothing. Not even by Yovel, they don't let you out. Because there's no one else that's holding you in. It's your own prison. It's your own avdus. It's your own golus. You can't scream the goyim. You can't scream the mitzrayim. You can't scream this and this and that. It's your own avdus. It's your own golus. You know, of course those people are always screaming. They're my boss and my wife and my kids and this one. And the train made me upset. You get to work, you're all upset. And they say, what happened? The train was late. So that's why you're barking at everybody. You're nasty. What happened? The bank I called didn't call me back. That's why. So that's why you have to. That's why you have to insult everybody in the whole place. An effort. Of course, he blames the bank. He blames the train. He blames everybody. He blames. He's angry that his alarm clock went off 3 minutes late. He's still angry from the morning. There's a timer. Now listen to the morale. Oh, the morale in Perek Nun Aleph. What's the say? The secrets of the morale. It would be much better if you had it inside. Well, a few sentences. Listen carefully. The morale is so sweet, but it also hurts. In Nun Aleph, here the whole Perek is about the Samach. Also, it's all Gvuras Hashem. On the page of David, Kiyah Matzah Nikolachem Ha'ini. So morale says Matzah. It's funny. Matzah is called a poor man's bread. A lot of you know this story. You learn this morale. Hepech matzah ashiva. Matzah ashiva means egg matzah as well, but and bread is even richer than that, right? So matzah ashiva, no, it's not everybody should eat it. Pesach, you understand. But matzah is called lechem oni, a poor man's bread. Shekashiyesh b'shemen u'dvash nikras ashiva. When the dough hasn't it already oil and it hasn't it some honey, it's called rich. Ki adav hazeh ma'aseh lechem, makes the bread rich. Vizeki ha'ani. So everybody, when we think of a poor man, that's not good. But the matzah is the holiest thing. It's called lechem ayni. So he says, Vizeki ha'ani she'ein la'ela atzma. You know what it is? A really poor person. A really poor person can't lose anything because he doesn't have anything. He only has one thing. That's himself. Listen, Vizeki ha'ani she'ein la'ela atzma. He only has himself. The ainlay momen rak atzmei v'gufa. He doesn't have any money. Atzmei v'gufa. This is it. What you're looking at is all I am. It's all I have. V'hamatzah gam ken kasha ein barak etzem ha'isa sha atzmei se'isu ha'mayim v'akemach sha'zo atzmei se'isa. Matzah means dough and has nothing else. It only has what it is. Nothing that's been added. No additives. Nothing extra. Nothing outside. No melech. No malka. No shibud. No pressure. No outside. It is what it is. It's called lechem ayini. And if it hasn't had oil, if it hasn't had some honey, that means it has an additional taste which is not itself. So why is it that lechem ayini is the bread of redemption, of freedom? Why is it lechem ayini? Why is that a freedom? You would think that what? That freedom and poverty, we think of being two opposite things, freedom and poverty. Haledov is ain't kasha. It's not a kasha. Ki ani is ba'atzma hirol ha'gula. Like we learned before, ani is poverty, is redemption. Shein inyin ha'gula rakshi yoytzi ve'ein lo shum tzirchus alosai. Redemption means that you're not bound by anything outside of yourself. All you have is yourself. Some peasant walking around on some island that's never been discovered by National Geographic advice. Elaki lives with much, much, much less lachas than any one of us could ever imagine. And we look at him and say, Rahmanis, he's an oni, he has gone. What does he have? He's not even a hut, he has nothing. And while we're saying that, we're looking at our watch, like I am, because I have to be someplace. I have to be. Hear the words? I have to be. And this peasant on some island, someplace that was never even discovered, where Adam Arishan never went over there to make Birchas Hashachar. And that peasant over there, Purim, Mamish. Rakshi Yoyit says, "I'm with Shum Tzirfos Elos, like my Ha'evet." Moral says, a poor man's bread is freedom. Like my Eved, Shaino Emid Va'atz, my Eved. An Eved means he doesn't have his own life. V'yeshot Tzir for Zolos, there's always something else controlling him and telling him what to do. Hu Hadon, the master, L'kach Adovish, Yesh Ba'ashiyus. Therefore, if something is wealthy, like bread that's wealthy, in Emid Va'atz, it's not just itself. Like Yeshot Tzir for Kinyona. V'yem Zagula. It means it's something else, and that's not redemption. That's really not called redemption. Avodavish Yesh Ba'anis, V'yem Lo Kinyona, Emid Va'atz, M'shach Ba'gula, that's Gula. Because that means being free, getting out of those outside things that are causing you to bow down and to make and to have a melech and a malkah standing over you your whole life, to be in a walking prison. There's nothing that I have, there's nothing, only the Baruch Hashem, I don't have to explain, to answer, to bow down, anything. And if you don't, if you're not bound to anything outside of yourself, sorry, the Baruch Hashem, you're not bound, but that's chayus. If you're not bound to anything outside of yourself, as nimsis gula, then this gula. That's why he says the redemption had to take place in the first month, Nisan, the first month. He says because all other months already are meshuba to the calendar, but the first is not enslaved to anything. I am who I am. The first is what it is. Because once it's already the second, it's already the second. It means I have to live up to the first. Right? What is it that the firstborn children, oldest children, have to have? There's a lot written about first children. They have all kinds of things, all kinds of times. What's first children? Because until that time, he was a ben chayyim, and all of a sudden, his sister was born. Just kidding. A malchus, all of a sudden, the malchus. What happened to the malchus? She, who is she, and what is she? And he starts to feel there's something not me, and it's a she. It's had to be in the first month. Pesach had to be in the beginning. And he goes on, we don't have time to go into the Kohen Gadol. That the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur would wear simple white clothing, even without any seams, right? Push it. Because in Yom Kippur, you understand the person reaches the highest madrega. On Yom Kippur, the person reaches a madrega, the Kohen Gadol goes in for all of Klal Yisrael, but there's nothing else in the world. Lishnai v'lishnim. It's only the Borei Kol Olam is the master of the world. There's nothing else. Therefore, he would wear a simple white garment without seams. A simple white means push it. It doesn't have any color. Color means richness. It means wealth. It means something outside that dyes and colors and changes the essence. You know, there was a great philosopher in Greece, Diogenes. Nowadays, I'm not Isaac in these things anymore. People used to be very interested in this stuff. This person was so great that the early Chachmei Musa held from him very stark. And he's brought down even a Musa Svar, an old Musa Svar. They held from him to be a great person, not a Jew, but he was great among the going. What did they admire about this person, Diogenes? He dug for himself a big pit in the ground, and he lived by himself with his thoughts. How he survived there, it's an interesting story. He lived in this place, and he thought about God, whatever that idea of God that he had. He thought about God day and night. He didn't have any books with him. He didn't have any papers, didn't have any pens. He had only himself. And the Bala Musa used to talk about Diogenes. Ooh, ooh, ooh. What a guy, what a guy. This Diogenes. He left his family, left everything. Of course we can't, it's not a way to live, but that's it. He left everything, and he lived this way in a hole. So one time it happened that there was one of his colleagues, another philosopher, that came to him, very tzebrochen, the philosopher, he was crying, because this philosopher had a tragedy. There was a fire, and the fire destroyed all of his friend's writings. He had thousands of manuscripts, pages, and all of it was destroyed in the fire. And Diogenes made fun of him. He came to Diogenes to get some chizuk. And Diogenes made fun of him. He said, "What kind of a philosopher are you if all of your chachma, if all of your wisdom is on a piece of paper that can be set on fire by anybody that comes around? That's you call yourself a philosopher? All of who you are is on a piece of paper?" It's brought down the Moses throne. He says, you're not a philosopher. You're a bundle of papers. You're meshubet to the papers. There's a sentence in the Altar from Kelm. Listen to the sentence, and we'll start to finish. Shirotzen ha-Taira, it's the Rotzen of the Taira. Shlo yih ha'adam osur b'ma'asar ha'rotzen. It's the will of the Torah, of the Baruch Shalom, that a Jew should never be imprisoned in the prison of wanting something, of wanting, of feeling a need for anything other than Elokus. And we can understand that if we take a quick look at a very, very big tzaddik, Tzaddik Yisrael Olam himself, Yosef HaTzaddik, who was in jail. Ve'yikach Adoni Yosef Oysev Yitnel Beis Asayim Mokim Eshes Yom El Chasurim. And the master of Yosef HaTzaddik put him into jail for nothing, for a lie, put him into jail with all the other prisoners. Ve'yisham, listen to the words, Ve'yisham Beis Asayim. And Yosef was there in the prison. All the Mepharshim are asking, what does it mean? Vayisham beBeis HaSayer. It says he put him in jail. So what does it mean that Yosef Vayisham, and he was there in the jail? So it says in the Sfarim that this is telling us the greatness of Yosef HaTzaddik. That even though in his external, in his physical life, he was the most miserable dungeon, and he was locked up with murderers and with thieves, and he was in the most horrible, horrible jail of the Tumah of Mitzrayim. He was like a matzah. He wasn't a spoil at all. That's why it says, Vayihi Shom Beis HaSayer. The same Yosef that he was, the same Yosef that he was in his father's house, the same Yosef that he was in his master's house, the same Yosef in Mitzrayim, Vayihi Shom Beis HaSayer. He was a free man in Auschwitz. He was free. Surrounded by barbed wire, surrounded by thugs and murderers. The Hisham Beis HaSayer, the Hisham means he was a Ben Chayrin. There was no Tzirif, it was only Yosef. He wasn't the spoil from anybody or anything. The Hisham Beis HaSayer. And that Bemis is exactly what Rashi says at the beginning of our parasha, of this Shabbos' parasha. The Yosef Hoyeb in Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, what does it mean? It tells us that everybody came up to Mitzrayim. The Yosef Hayim Mitzrayim. Umar Bol Lamdein, Rashi is. What's it coming to teach us? Eloi, the Achat Tzidkos Rosh Yosef. It's telling us that Tzidkos, the greatness of Yosef. Hu Yosef Haroyes Tzoyn Oviv. He's the same Yosef in Mitzrayim when he became the big king. The same humble Tzadik Yisrael Olam who was watching his father's sheep. Hu Yosef Shahayim Mitzrayim. He's the same Yosef that was in Mitzrayim and Asa Melech Va'omed Mitzidkai. The same, that's what it says, Yosef, the Yosef Hayim Mitzrayim. He was the same Yosef in Mitzrayim. He wasn't a spoil. He didn't become a chametz. There was no lachatz. There wasn't the lachatz of the misery of slavery. It wasn't the lachatz of becoming carried away with himself to think that he's the prime minister. Nothing. Hu Yosef. The Yosef Hayim Mitzrayim, but the Zelba Yosef, 12 years in jail, a free man. When they came to release the Balatani, it's his yatz, and they came to release Balatani from jail, when they thought that the Balatani was in prison, when they came to the Alter Rebbe in that most horrible prison in the middle of the water by St. Petersburg, when they came to the Balatani. When they came to the Baltanya, because they finally decided that what, that they're going to let the great rabbi out of jail. So when they walked over there, so Baltanya was sitting in his shackles, that they had him shackled down, and he was sitting like he always was with the talisman thrilling. And when they came with the big keys they had in the old days, you know, they came to open it, so the door opened by itself. And when they came to take off the Baltanya, they were scared, and they saw this, they started to shake. And when they came to take off his chains, the Balatanya lifted up his hands and pulled them off his feet and got up and walked away. The guy's not taking me out of jail. I was never in prison. There was a gzeirah from Hashem. And the second the gzeirah is over, there's no wall, there's no warden, there's no jail, there's no chains, there's no guy, there's garnish. Nothing. Ani shnei ezam mili adi. Period. That's all there is. The Yosef Hayim in Mitzrayim, the Yosef Beis HaSayer, the same Alter Rebbe before jail, the same Alter Rebbe in jail. And people like ourselves can be in the most beautiful house, in the most wonderful country where everybody's free, and you're sitting in the Beis HaSayer, mamish. Every person what they think, every person what they say, what's going to be? Again, the train, the guest, the this, the that, whatever your melech is, you're in the Beis HaSayer, in the jail. Because why? Because that's what the Alter said. Also, Namasar Harots, you are imprisoned by what you want, by something outside of you. You're imprisoned. All of the Shebet and all of the Golas of Yosef HaTzadik was outside of him. They were doing to him. But they locked him up and they threw him down. All of that was to him. But as far as who he was, Toshet like a matzah, Blitzir, if nothing changed, you made me a melech. If you think it's an amazing thing, because the pasuk that it says in Kehelis, me based on Surim Yotze Limlech, that from jail he went out and became king. Chazal tells us that's talking about Yosef HaTzadik. Me based on Surim Yotze Limlech. Who's it talking? It's talking about Yosef. They took him out from jail and he became a king. So you'd think you'd have to first go for some courses, no? Not political science 1, 001, you know, monarchy 2. You have to go for some courses. They took him out from being an Evid, a Gornish, an Ivri, a Jew, sitting with all the lowest of the low, in filth, in rags. He based on Surim Yotze Limloich, and he left the jail and he became king over Mitzrayim. How did that happen? What about in between? The Torah says, there was no difference then. V'yosef ha'yivim Mitzrayim, so v'zel v'yosef. Because that's a person who's truly a king, you understand. He was a king when he was in the dungeon too. He was Yosef HaTzadik when he was a Royat son. He was Yosef HaTzadik in the dungeon. He was Yosef HaTzadik with Eishes Potiphar. He was Yosef HaTzadik afterwards when he came up to power and he didn't bow down to him either. He didn't bow down to him. Look how he spoke. Power doesn't bow down to anybody, Yosef HaTzadik. Nothing. He was always free. Therefore, for him to become a melech, for him to become a melech, for him to become the king over the entire Mitzrayim, there was no transition, because a transition means, like training, and transition means you're something, now you're going to be something else. Like sometimes they have on the radio, you hear like there's somebody that was like a chreis, you know, flunked everything and never went to school, and now all of a sudden they made me the manager like in Walmart or something. So it's like a gewaltige shinui, and now she became the manager. So she tells the other schleppers, you know, the cash register, what's the matter with you? And what's the matter with you? You're going to lose your job if you don't put the box over here. If you don't give the right change or something, you're going to lose your job. She became against the Malki, you understand? It's a whole malucha she has now. Eved ki imloi, you heard the pasuk, when a slave becomes king. It's the zelba eved, it's the same eved. No matter what promotion they give you at work, you still feel pressure. You thought when you're going to get the promotion, you're going to get twice the money, you're not going to feel any more pressure. How come you got the promotion and you feel more pressure than you did when you had less money? The Torah says, Eved ki yimlach. When the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, took the Klosenberg Schusigam, they took him out in Klosenberg into the public square, and all the Jews were crying, they made all the Jews stand, I told this to you many times, and they made all the Jews stand there. And the Klosenberg was standing there, tall and strong, he was a beautiful, beautiful Jew. And he was standing there, and the Nazis couldn't take it, and he came there, the commander of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came over there, and with the back of the rifle, he gave the Klosenberg across the head. And the Klosenberg fell on the floor, and all of his teeth came out. And he was covered with blood. So he pulled up the Klosenberg up, and he said, "The Klosenberg," and he said, "Hey, Rabina, you still think you're the chosen people?" And the Klosenberg said, "Yeah." He gave him a clap with a gun, and the Klosenberg is on the floor, almost dead. And they were all laughing, the Nazis, and the Jews were all crying, and they lifted up the Klosenberg, and "Hey, Rabina, you know they talk. Your honorable rabbi, are you still the chosen people?" And the Klosenberg stood there with everything blood, and he looked him in the face and said, "As long as you do the hitting and we don't, we're the chosen people. You understand?" It's a nice they didn't kill him, they threw him down. You don't find us that we should hate people and kill people. We're free, you understand? You're the biggest prisoner on earth, you Nazi. You're a prisoner of hate, you're a prisoner of prejudice, you're a prisoner of racism, you're a prisoner of your commanding officer, you're a prisoner of your wife, you're a prisoner of your German shepherd, you're a prisoner. Me? I'm about to die, right? You see? Look at me. I'm a Ben Chayim. Free. When the Friedrich Lubavitcher was in jail, right, you know, and the Russian put a gun to his head, and he told him, "I'm going to shoot you." He was playing with the guy because he had an empty, he didn't have it full. So the Friedrich Rebbe stood there like that, and the guy pulled the trigger, and the Friedrich didn't even flinch. If it were you or I, we would pass out. You could die just from the fear, right? didn't even move. So the guy was very scared, and he said, "What are you? You're not a human being. You're not from this world. You're not afraid of the gun." So he said, "You have one world and one gun. By me, there are two worlds and no guns. That's all. Ani Yosef Yitzchak. The Yosef Yitzchak Haya Berasha. You understand? Same thing. The Klausenberg Rebbe, the Yikusel Yehuda Haya B'Mitzrayim. Stress, pressure. Those are stressful situations, would you agree? Stressful. Someone holds a gun to your head and says, "You're going to die." That's pretty stressful. Your boss is like second to that, but that's first. The Yosef Haya B'Mitzrayim. Hashem's book should help us to taste of that Yishev Adas, the taste of that Menuchas Nefesh, to be able to be free, to be matzah, to be Bnei Chayrin. She b'zeich Hashata Avda L'shan Haba Bnei Chayrin Hashata Hacha Hacha L'shan Haba Ba'ar Di Yisrael L'gul Hashem Amitis M'hev Yomein L'kabeinu Amen.